Okay, I'm going to start off with crowd participation. I have a question for you. You can tell me the answer by a raising of your hand is fine. How many of you have ever, in your whole life, had a role model? Somebody you looked up to and wanted to be like. Okay? You can put your hands down. I have another question. We're not done. It's a multiple question test here. How many of you, at whatever point that role model was older than you were at that time? They were older than you. Good. I have another question, because I'm just curious. How many was that role model younger than you were? A few. Good. Okay, that can happen. How many of you who are, I didn't really write down the age ranges, so I'm going to guess here. How many of you that are currently between the ages of, I'll say zero, just because I don't know who's paying attention. 0 to 10 years old. Okay? 0 to 10 years old. How many of you currently have a role model right now in the church that you're looking up to? Raise your hand. Few. Just a few. There's not very many of that age range here. So what about 11 to 15? How many of you have a role model you look up to, 11, 15? Okay. What about 16 to 20? How many of you currently, right now, have a role model in the church that you look up to? Okay. What about 20 to 30? Okay. What about 30 to 50? That's me. I got to put my hand up. I'm almost there, but not quite. The 50 to 70 age group. You still have a role model that you look up to. What about the 70 and older? Do you have a role model you look up to? I have another question for everybody. How many of you can think of somebody that is not physically with us on this earth anymore? They are dead. But you still look up to them as a role model. Isn't that interesting? We all have role models. Some are living. Some have gone on. But we still honor them. We still honor them and want to imitate them. I thought about, when I was trying to figure out how to organize this lesson, I started out by talking a whole lot of things and then ended up with the lesson ending with our ultimate role model, who we should ultimately try to imitate and be like. And then I don't know what happened. One night I couldn't sleep and I decided I'm going to flip that around. And we're going to start off with the ultimate one that we're supposed to follow, because I know you all know who that is. Who is that? Christ. See, I knew that. I knew you would know that answer. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter tells us, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. It wasn't the only reason that Jesus was here. There was a long list of reasons why Jesus came to this earth. But one of those was to leave us an example. Somebody we could follow. Somebody who is physically not with us anymore. He died. Now, He rose again. But still, that's why I phrased it the way I did. He is not physically with us anymore on the earth. But we still are to imitate Him and follow in His steps. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. John says, He who says he abides in Him also himself ought to walk just as He walked. Not the literal footsteps. I don't have to go follow the path that He took. But I have to imitate His life. I have to try to walk in the way that He walked. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul tells us, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, you must, so you also must you. kind of botched the ending of that verse. One of the examples that Jesus gave us was forgiveness. And we should forgive just like He did. Imitate Him. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Parents, who do our children imitate the most? Whether we like it or not, it's us. I'm going to ask another question. Now, this is one that we don't like to answer, especially my age group and a little bit younger. How many of you have ever caught yourself doing something or saying something without even thinking of it and went, "Oh, that's just like my dad," or "that's just like my mom"? How many of you have done that? See? Even us old people still imitate our parents. Okay? From time to time. So as dear children, be imitators of God. Just like our children imitate us, we should imitate our Father, God. And he goes on, walk in love, just as Christ also has loved us and giving himself for us, an offering and a sacrificing to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We're to imitate God, just as our children imitate us, and just like Jesus imitated his Father in his love for us. Wow. There's a lot in that verse as far as my topic goes. Now turn to John chapter 13. This has always been one of my favorite accounts of Jesus. John chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hours had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, remember, that's the example, he loved them to the end. Verse 2, after supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus understood who he was. He'd come from God, he was going to God, he was God. He knew what that was. He loved us. Verse 4, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he had girded himself. I want you to think, you kind of have to imagine a little bit, and I want you to put yourself into the position of the apostles. You've been eating the Passover. You've been learning, growing, coming to the realization that this is the Son of God in front of you. Coming not to a full understanding of what he must do, but understanding his power. Understanding his authority through the miracles and the teachings that he'd done. Coming to grips with this. You're eating a most precious meal. And he stands up. And think about this. This would have taken some time to prepare himself, to take his cloak off, to gird himself up, to tie up his robe like he was getting ready to work, to go get a towel, to wrap that around himself, to fill a bowl with water. I mean, this took some time. I can imagine the apostles sitting there going, well, what is he going to do? Is he going to turn that into wine? Wonder what he's going to do. And whispering among themselves, they did that a lot, didn't they? Talking among themselves, I wonder what's going to happen next. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then he comes over, and the Son of God kneels in front of you and washes your feet. Did he do that because their feet were dirty and he was disgusted and tired of looking at them? No. Why did he do that? He did that as an example. In fact, when Simon figures out what he's doing, in verse 6, when he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." He tries to, without telling him what's going on, he tries to explain it a little bit. "Let it happen, Peter, it's okay." But verse 8, Peter doesn't think sometimes. Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." "I don't care what you want to do, Christ, you're not washing my feet." But look what Jesus says. "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now Simon Peter says, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Just give me a bath. Just clean me all up, Lord. If I've got to have my feet washed to be with you, I need the rest of me washed too." We're going to skip down to verse 12. Because he spends some time talking a little bit about Judas. But in verse 12, "So when he had washed their feet," he's done, "taken his garments and sat down again." Again, this would have taken some time, would it not? And the whole time, I imagine them whispering among themselves, "What in the world just happened? What did he do? Why did he do that?" There's a real good chance they had their feet washed as they came into the house. Why did he do it again? And then he asks them in verse 12, the end of verse 12, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord and say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, was his point that these apostles, these men, were supposed to go around washing everybody's feet? No. Because he goes on to talk about the servant is not greater than his master. Here's the other thing that we need to consider and think about. Every one of us, if we are of much of an age at all, and I'm going to put the age at like 12, and up. At some point, you have been a role model to somebody. Somebody has looked up to you. Somebody has watched what you do. Somebody has watched what you say. Somebody has watched how you act. Somebody has watched what you know. Somebody has observed you and imitated you. And looked up to you. Christ does this so that they will understand you need to be an example. I've given you the example to serve. Now you go serve. And you be an example. If I, your Lord and teacher, knew that I needed to give you an example, then you too need to give an example. It is important how we lead. When we are a role model, which we are all from time to time, we need to pay attention. Because it's very important how we are that role model. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Deny himself, take up his cross. There's going to be some things in order to lead, in order to be the role model, there are going to be some things you have to put away, you have to put behind, you have to deny. And then you're going to have to follow. Follow who? Follow Christ. Follow his example. There's a reason that he calls us as Christians sheep. Because sheep follow, right? But what term did he give to himself in relation to the sheep? The chief shepherd. What is one of the descriptive roles of the eldership within the church? shepherding the flock. Being a role model. Being a guide. Somebody that the congregation can look up to and they can follow. It's very, very important. In Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 25, "But Jesus called them to Himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it will not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many.'" Jesus is the role model for this process. He showed us how to do it. He explained to us to lead by example. Not to drive the flock, but to lead. And that's not just on the elders' shoulders. That is a burden we all have to bear. Because at some point, every single one of us has been a role model. And they're watching. When others follow us, it is a great responsibility. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus is addressing how the Pharisees were circumventing God's command with their own teachings and traditions. And he said this, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." What happens if the role model falls short? It might lead the one who is following the same direction. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." We have to make sure. In fact, what example that we all remember does he immediately or pretty immediately follow that statement with? The speck and the beam. Making sure that we as a role model have our lives right. Are striving to do the right thing so that we're leading in the right way as those who are younger than us follow us. It doesn't matter how old you are, somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. As we think about us as role models, there's one major quality, and we've talked about it a little bit, but I want to mention it again. One major quality that we have to focus on and have within ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, a man who could work miracles, a man who had been taught directly by Christ himself, a man who had all kinds of information and knowledge and revelations that Jesus gave him through the Spirit, he doesn't say, "Imitate me." He says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." We have to have that same mindset. If you see me doing something that is not the right thing, don't follow me. Please. Do what you know is right. That's what Paul is saying. Paul, when he talked to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, he said, "I have shown you in every way." Did he learn from Jesus? Did he learn from the example maybe of the other apostles? Yes, he did. He learned that I can't just say it, I have to show it. I have to live it. He says, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" To show. If we're going to be a role model, if people are going to be looking up to us, they have to see us imitating Christ. It's not good enough for us just to talk about it. They have to see it in our life. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Don't just follow them blindly, because if the blind lead the blind, everybody falls into the ditch. Don't follow them blindly. Watch them. See what it is. See what happens. What is the outcome of what they're doing? And follow them if it's right. Follow them if you see that it's good. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 11, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Now, he doesn't just leave it there, because he says, do not become sluggish, and then he explains what the opposite of that is. Don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Watch those who are doing the right thing, and don't become lazy. Do it yourself. Follow them. Let them lead you by their example. Now I'm going to ask another question. And if you don't want to raise your hand on this one, that's fine. How many of you have ever looked up to somebody and seen them as a role model and at some point been disappointed by their actions or the decisions that they have made because they're not consistent with how you view them as a role model? That can happen, can't it? I'm going to ask you another more personal question. I really don't necessarily want to see hands on this one. How many of you have ever caught yourself in that situation where you were the role model? Somebody was looking up to you and you looked around and realized that somebody was imitating some part of your life that was not good. That should be a wake-up call. You know, we see that in the Scriptures. In Galatians chapter 2, you remember what happened there? Paul caught Peter doing something he should not have been doing. Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. Then when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. That's Paul. Because he was to be blamed. To be blamed for what? For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Was Peter just confused? He didn't really understand the truth? No. Peter had defended this exact same very thing and fought against this exact same very behavior himself when he went to Cornelius, right? He went to Cornelius, ended up eating in his house, spending the night, things he shouldn't have done as a Jew. Came back to Jerusalem and the rest of the church said, wait a minute, Peter, we've heard something's going on. What is happening here? And he had to explain it. And argue against that the Gentiles were now accepted as equals with the Jews through Christianity. And now here he is in Antioch doing the same thing. Was it just him? Who else was carried away with this? Barnabas. Somebody that probably saw Peter as a role model. Somebody that probably looked up to Peter, listened to him, followed him, considered the things he said and did. And it says he was carried away with the same indiscretions. Did Barnabas just not know better? No, he'd spent time with Paul in the Gentile communities. He knew better. He'd been with Paul as he railed to the leadership at Jerusalem about men that were out there teaching this very thing. And yet here he is, In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. Paul writes the church at Corinth, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' and 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Christians can get into a lot of trouble when they start aligning themselves to a person with greater allegiance and greater zeal than they do to Jesus Christ Himself. That is extremely dangerous. This causes spiritual blindness, opens the door to deception for us to be led astray. Perhaps that's what happened to Barnabas. In the end, the result is disobedience and corruption that either causes or is due to divisions in the church. Very, very dangerous. In verse 10, Paul was adamant that there would be no divisions in the body of Christ, and yet he was amazed in verses 11 through 13 how the church at Corinth had actually done this very thing. Divided the Lord's body. They were aligning to various spiritual teachers and leaders of the time. Some said Paul, some said they were of Peter, some said they were of Apollos. Some, notice, even claimed to be of Christ. Did you notice that? As if it was just another group within the group. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul reminds us, "So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth." If only those in the world professing to be Christians could understand this simple, simple truth. To not align themselves with worldly teachers, but to align themselves with Christ and His message. Some are of John Calvin. Some are of John Wesley. Some Martin Luther, Billy or Franklin Graham, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, or whoever the current Pope may or may not be. They align themselves with all kinds of people. And I don't just mean those with completely false messages either. We dare not say, "I am a Phil Robertson," even though I like a lot of the things he says. We dare not say, "I am of Rick Sparks," or Wade Stanley, or John Lee, or John Morris, or Mark Herman, or anyone else. Even if someone is completely in line with Christ's gospel, we dare not make ourselves of, and you fill in the blank, except being of Christ. The church's only hope for unity, maturity, and purity, and Paul understood this, is to completely align behind imitating Christ and following His example and His words above and beyond all other human voices. Where these human voices speak truth according to God's word, we can imitate Christ as we imitate those mere mortals. Just like Paul was saying, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." But we have to remember that the one who plants and the one who waters are nothing. The one who matters is God, who gives the increase and the growth. We as believers have a great responsibility to show Christ to the world, to be their role model. So let's make sure that people see Jesus in us and not some fleshly impersonation, interpretation, or imposter. Make sure that they see Jesus in us. We have to be careful to be good testimonies so that others can experience the same blessings of being in God and in Christ that we do. The same blessings that hopefully their godly role models enjoy. Always being absolutely sure and certain to fix our eyes on Christ, the ultimate example and the ultimate role model. I want to ask one more question. How many of you, whatever age range you are, how many of you think somebody looks up to you as their role model? And you better all raise your hand. Because they do. They do. How many of you feel like you're qualified to be their role model? Good. That's humility. Remember, I asked you earlier how many of you had somebody, whether they were dead or alive, that you had looked up to as a role model. I just want you to reflect and think. If they were a good role model, if they imitated Christ, if you can follow them as they followed Christ, how are you doing? Did they do a good job of leading you? Because now it's your turn to lead the next generation and the one before that. Like it or not, we're all role models. The ultimate role model is Christ. And we read verses where He told us, He gave us an example. He showed us the way. He showed us about forgiveness. He showed us, not through His own life, because He didn't have anything to repent of, but how He dealt with those that needed to repent. He showed us. And when He said, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, He didn't expect His followers to just guess at what He meant. He left us an example. He went to John, where John was baptizing with much water, and He went into the water, and He came up out of it again. If it is your desire this morning, or this afternoon, to begin following Christ as the ultimate role model, to imitate Him, we invite you to come forward, be baptized into His name with repentance and forgiveness as we stand and as we sing.